Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to the broadcast. And if you have a question you'd like to pose, and if it's the top of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can do that right now at 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call, of course, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, this signal goes out all across the United States, every state of the Union, and all across Canada, and it goes into 119 countries around the world.
Wow.
And I just want to say thank you to all of our supporters who stand with us to help to get this good news out to as many people as this signal reaches.
You bet.
And, boy, we need a clear teaching on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many mixed messages out there. There are so many things that are being put forth as true when, in fact, they're not true.
Right. Yeah.
We need the simple, clear teaching that's contained in the Word of God that reveals the story of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, prophecy is one of those places where there's all kinds of mixed messages and there's so much confusion that exists. But when you think of the word prophecy, you need to think of the word Jesus. You need to think of Jesus Christ himself, because at the end, it's going to be a revelation of Jesus when he comes back. And there's going to be some amazing things that happen when he comes back. We're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. That's good news.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for, and that's what God is working in us to carry us to, is to that point in time when he reveals himself. The world's going to see him for who he is. And guess what? The world's going to see us for who we are. They don't take a lot of notice of us right now. They're not putting us up on pedestals saying, hey, I wish I could be like them. The world makes fun of us. Christianity isn't tops on their list. But one day when the Lord returns, when he is revealed, they're going to see us for who we are, true children of God. And that's just amazing.
Yeah.
And so prophecy is all about Jesus. And I love this passage, and there's a great song out about it. And I know many of you probably have sung it over and over in your churches, but it comes from Revelation chapter 5, and it says this, "And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Boy, if there's not good news, I don't know what good news is.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it, guys?
It is.
Yeah, and you know, it just reminds me of some of the things Paul has said. You know, in Colossians 3, he said, "Christ is our life, and when Christ appears, we will appear with him in glory." You talked about that, Bob. You know, that we'll appear with him. And then there's that little phrase, in glory. And, you know, it's so amazing to think that, you know, Jesus stood in a garden or kneeled in a garden and prayed and said, "The glory that you've given to me, I've given to them. And the love that you've loved me with, I've loved them with. And you, Father, have loved them with. And we're all one." Guys, I mean, just that kind of closeness and intimacy, and the fact that, you know, we don't have a God that's telling us we have to climb up to him or impress him or work our way toward him. Instead, we've got a God who's shared everything with us. You know, he's not desperate. He's not frustrated. He's not up there in a selfish manner. Instead, we see in the gospel that he's sharing. I mean, he's sharing everything. You know, he didn't spare his own son. How will he not freely give us all things? So when we think of the end times, when we think of Revelation, when we think of this song contained in the fifth chapter, I mean, it's just amazing that we get to be a part of that story, and that God lets us be a part of it, and that he gives us a place of honor, even a place of glory that we didn't deserve. So, you know, guys, it seems like we're asking a lot of questions on radio. folks are calling in with tons of insecurity. We all feel that. And we're saying, am I okay? Am I cursed? Have I lost my salvation? Is God mad at me? And we really need to be saying, how blessed am I? How close am I? How intimately near am I to Jesus? And what kind of place has he prepared for me? And what does it mean to share in his glory? And what does it mean to be loved just like Jesus is loved? We're asking the wrong questions because we can't imagine that it's really this good, but it is.
It is. You were sitting there talking, I'm thinking, you know, so many people, when they talk about prophecy, they put the doom and gloom aspect to it. And, you know, I think, guys, we're the positive prophecy boys talking about what God's grace means for us, not only here, but in the future.
Yeah, well, the message got through to a friend named David who dropped us a note by Facebook. He said in response to the question, do you worry about end times? David answered, used to. even became obsessed with it. Understanding the grace of God has taught me that I can trust him with the end times and anything else in my future. I know his goodness and love. No need to fear what is to come. He's already there.
Yes, indeed. Well, that goes to back to a survey that we sent out last week, and it's available. If you would like to take our prophecy survey and share your opinion, you can do so anonymously. We're not asking for your name or anything like that. We just want to know your basic attitudes toward prophecy. When you hear that word, when you hear end times, what comes to mind? Does it stir feelings of fear? Does it stir feelings of hope? Are you confused about the different viewpoints on prophecy, what's going to happen at the end? That survey is on our website at basicgospel.net. If you would like to voice your opinions through that, we encourage you to go there right now. Fill that out. Tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to reveal some of the information from that. And then for the rest of the month, we are going to be addressing the questions that you've posed through those surveys.
Yeah.
So if you would like to participate, go to our website right now, basicgospel.net. Click on the link. It's right on the front page. And just it'll take you less than 5 minutes to fill out that survey form, hit the submit button, and then it will be tabulated with the rest of the folks who have already done so. And we've had quite a great response.
Yes.
It's been fabulous to see. So we will reveal all the information on that tomorrow, the statistics, and then start answering questions. So the rest of this month is going to be really exciting.
The real reveal.
That's right. That's right.
You know, friends, every month we offer very beneficial resources to our listeners just to say thank you for supporting this ministry with their love and their prayers and with their gifts. And we hope that fits you as well. Now, this month we're offering our 2-CD series by Bob Christopher called Trail of Assurance. Bob has addressed the end times issues that we've talking about this month of September, this highly informative series. Particularly if you have experienced fear and confusion about prophetic issues today, these messages are going to be an encouragement to stand firm in the security and assurance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, the new series is called Trail of Assurance, and we have a copy for you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of Trail of Assurance. Once again, basicgospel.net or 844-322-2742. Now, mentioning that number, if it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, this is the live broadcast. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, friends. If you have something you'd like to discuss about end times, if there's something troubling you, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we are rapidly approaching a question from Christina, if I can get it. She says, do carnal Christians have the same guarantee of salvation by grace? Do they believe that Christ was the Son of God? That's a very quick two questions from Christina, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app.
Well, guys, you know, first I think we have to recognize what a carnal Christian is. If we're going to use that term, you know, Paul called some Christians in the city of Corinth, he called them fleshly or carnal. Nevertheless, they were believers. And I think that we have to recognize that, you know, when we're believers, we're also receivers. And we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, but being a believer means you're a recipient, a receiver. And so you say, well, what have I received? Well, you've received eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life. What else have you received? Well, you've received the Spirit of God, who is your life. And so, you know, the fact that you're not grown up, the fact that you're stumbling and falling and failing, and you've got an unrenewed mind, and you've got decisions to make, and sometimes the decisions we make aren't so wise. You know, the Corinthians were fighting and bickering and arguing over who baptized whom, and they were arguing at the Lord's Supper. There were disputes. On and on we could go, talking about the bathhouses and the sexual immorality in Corinth and how some people were being drawn into that. One man was having inappropriate relations with a family member. So many things, so many carnal, fleshly things were going on in the city of Corinth, but Paul writes them and says to the saints at Corinth, I, Paul. So their sainthood is not in question. The fact that they are in Christ is not in question. So I think we just have to separate our location from our mindset. Let me just say a word about that. I mean, if we're Christians, we are in the Spirit, and we're sealed, and we're safe, and we're secure, and that is for eternity. Now, your location is one thing. You're in Christ, you're in the Spirit, and that's permanent, and that's your location, no matter what. But now we also have a walk and a mindset. The Bible says we can walk by the Spirit, or we can walk by the flesh. We can walk, you know, in a spiritual mindset, or we can walk carnally in a given moment. We can set our minds on the Spirit, or we can set our minds on the flesh. But get this, and I think this is the most important point for Christina's question. You know, no matter where my mind is set, whether it's at 1 o'clock being set on the Spirit, and at 2 o'clock being set on a fleshly thought, and at 3 o'clock back on the Spirit, that's just the fluctuations of my mind and the fluctuations of my walk. But my location will never, ever change. When he says he'll never leave me, when he says he'll never forsake me, when he says no one can snatch me out of his hand, he means it. My location is permanent. I am in the Spirit. I am in Christ, and that is forever. So, Christina, your question about carnal Christians, that would be Christians who are thinking carnally, who are thinking in a fleshly manner. Well, you know, that would be all of us in a sense. I mean, my goodness, we're all getting the renewing of the mind. So we start out as baby Christians, and we slowly grow with a growth that comes from God. But in the meantime, we're just as saved as we always have been and always will be. So our life in Christ is our new location, and we are safe and secure no matter what. Guys, I guess as a final thought, I would just say we got to remember, though, you know, because we're in Christ, because we're in the Spirit, let's go ahead and set our minds there. Let's go ahead and set our minds on the Spirit, because it's logical, because it makes sense, because it's healthy, because it's our design. And I think when we go against that, that's when we sense all that friction and things just feel awkward inside, because someone who's in the Spirit is designed to walk by the Spirit.
Yeah, that's ultimate freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've been called to freedom and living as a child of God, fully embracing that new life that you have in Christ is ultimate freedom. I mean, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, and there's a whole new way of going from point A to point B.
Yes.
Now, that butterfly can choose to go get back down on the ground and crawl, but that doesn't make sense. He's putting himself in bondage to his former way of life. All he has to do is flap his wings and fly. And that's what Scripture continues to encourage us to do. We've been given a brand new way of life. It's the life of faith. Faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who's alive living in us. That's when we experience freedom, and that's this walk of the Spirit. And Andrew, outstanding, very clear answer on that. I appreciate that, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, guys.
Well, friends, more and more people are taking advantage of the Basic Gospel app. And, friends, if you have not done that, we hope that you will. It's absolutely free. No reason not to download it and stay in contact with us. You can take us wherever you go. So we'd love to go with you at the Basic Gospel app. Download it today if you have the opportunity. Now, Corey did so, and he had posted a question through the app about James 5, verses 13 through 20. He says, in this particular passage, is James not appealing to unbelieving Jewish brothers when he asked, is any among you sick? I've always heard it preached that this prayer of faith is a prayer for healing of sickness. Also in verse 15, he addresses forgiveness of committed sins. If the believer already has his sins forgiven, then doesn't this imply that he's referencing unbelievers who receive the prayer of faith for salvation? Is the Lord raising up a guarantee of resurrection life in Christ, or is it a guarantee of healing from a sickbed? That's from Corey, who wrote to us through the app.
Well, that's a good question, and there's a lot to that question.
Yeah.
And I think most of that can be answered in context, can't it, guys?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at James 5, you know, first, regarding the forgiveness issue, which I think is the more important one. I mean, you know, healing of physical ailments is great. When God does a miracle in a person's life, we can say amen and thank you, Lord, and praise God. But every single person needs forgiveness, and we need it pronto. I mean, we don't want to be waiting on that one. So it's a great question that's brought up here, because when you look in James 5, it says, if any has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. It's interesting how this has been turned into, so you're not forgiven, so your future sins aren't taken care of, so Jesus just took away your past sins and your future sins are lingering, or something like that. I think we just have to recognize that sometimes there's a time verse here. I mean, we are time creatures, and we live in time, and I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But the point is here, what's the one and only condition? I mean, the only condition for being forgiven is that the sins have to be committed. They have to exist. So this is an assurance passage for any believer who is in Christ. I mean, James is saying, hey, don't freak out. Don't live in fear. If you've committed any sins, this is a hypothetical, but if you have, they'll be forgiven. When? When they're committed. I mean, it's not that you have to jump through three hoops and fulfill five steps in order to get forgiven. The sins just have to exist. So it's interesting that all that needs to take place is for them to be committed. Now, by no stretch is he saying, please go out and commit sins. That's not his point. But his point is, I'm writing this letter to a large group of people. I don't know you all. I don't know who's going to be sick. I don't know who is struggling with a sin. I can't name everything that's going on in this church. But let me just tell you that if there are any sins that exist there, they're forgiven. Why? Well, because of the blood of Jesus. So, you know, that portion of this passage, I think, has been warped and twisted over the years, guys, into some sort of conditional forgiveness from God. And we really need to see that in the if clause here, the only condition is that the sins actually exist. And so his point is to comfort them, saying, hey, if you've committed any, don't worry. If you've committed any, don't live in fear. If you've committed any, don't freak out. You need to know that the gospel has got you covered on this one. Jesus has taken all those sins away. So it's a time verse. It's a comfort verse. And that's its intention. And you know, I guess you guys, I don't know if you want to speak to the physical healing part too, because there's so much distortion out there about physical healing. Some say it's guaranteed for every Christian all the time, but if that were true, this passage wouldn't exist, would it?
Well, that's exactly right. This isn't one of those passages that we, you know, hold up to God and say, hey, you've obligated yourself, yeah, to heal me, so have at it. And we know that is not the case. And also see that there's you know, even a broader context of this, and the fact that you know, the fighting and the quarreling that happens within relationships and within groups of people, and those can become so I guess harsh and so severe that it causes physical things to take place. I think we've all been in those sort of situations. I've been in that type of situation where I was physically sick to the point I had to be hospitalized over a relationship issue. And it's like, well, it's not that I needed forgiveness or needed to from God in that situation. There needed to be a reconciliation within the two parties. And I see that as a part of this context as well, that that we can extend, we can confess our sins one another and confess our sins one another because we have already been forgiven in Christ. It's in some sense an echoing of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, that we are to forgive others just as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven us. So we can extend grace, we can extend kindness in these situations because of that rock solid forgiveness that we already have.
Yes.
That's already there for us and in us because we have Christ. And so I think a big part of this context speaks to interpersonal relationships as well. Mm-hmm. And, Andrew and Richard and Bob, this verse, therefore confess your sins one to another. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This isn't a passage that is saying set up accountability groups. You know, and if you, going along your day, stumble and commit a sin, then you call up your accountability group and say, oh, I stumbled again today, and they can pray for you. That's not what this passage is all about. If you've committed a sin against a person, go and confess that sin to that person or to that group of people. And that's where healing, that's where forgiveness, that's where things can take place within those relationships with that, either that individual person or within that group of people. So I see some great assurance that we are forgiven people and some great hope that forgiveness that we have in Christ can be the fount of reconciliation for human relationships.
Yeah.
Amen.
Guys, want to remind our listeners that we're streaming live video each and every day to both Facebook and YouTube, and you can join us and see what's going on inside the studio, and we hope that's a good thing. It's just one more venue to share the gospel, and we hope that you'll use it. We also encourage you to take advantage of the ministry with you whenever you go with the Basic Gospel app. I'm kind of stumbling over things here, but trying to get my thoughts in line here. Anyway, listen live, pose a question, or make a donation. You can do it all with the Basic Gospel app. We want to remind you once again that we are here every day to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Of course, Bob and Richard are here every day, and we appreciate the fact that Andrew has joined us as well. And friends, remember to make your gift to Basic Gospel now and receive your copy of our new 2-CD audio series, Trail of Assurance. Now, what it will do, it will bring hope and assurance to everyone struggling with the confusing issues surrounding end times prophecy. To receive your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net and click Donate, or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Trail of Assurance, our gift to you this month as you make your gift to Basic Gospel. And continue to be available to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to you each and every day. We need your support and your prayers. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best way to donate to Basic Gospel. Bob, what would you say in closing to share with our listeners the benefit they'll receive from this series?
Well, Barry sent us a nice Facebook comment. He said, oh, that all men and women come to the knowledge of the truth so that all can be set free. There's a lot of fear, a lot of all anxiety, all kinds of things as far as people are concerned when they look to the future. Well, this particular resource will help set them free by the truth of the Word of God. This great gospel message, the fact that Jesus died to take away our sins, that he ransomed us, that he has come to live inside of us, That is the victory that we have in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what enables us to look forward with a sense of freedom, a sense of hope, and a sense of victory.
Trail of Assurance is yours with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, everybody. And we told you how you can do that. We hope you will. Well, thanks for being with us. And now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Parley, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.